And welcome to episode 15 already of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from City on the Budget. And I'm joined today by my co-host, a man who in 1988 was so starstruck when he met his idol, Eddie the Eagle, he pitched a trouser tent. It's Russ from Scotland Surveyor. Russ, how are you today, sir?
I'm all good. And yeah, thanks for the trip down memory lane.
I'm sure it haunts you every day. I'm a bit giddy. My missus has got induced this morning. We're kind of going through the whole kind of labour process as a record. She's downstairs sleeping at the moment. And yeah, I'm pretty tired. So we're recording early today and we're just going to have a general bit of chat. One of the things that I found, Russ, just before we kind of go into chat about the Surveyor kind of things, well, just it is around the Surveyor things. I've started to get kind of a malaise, tired, bored of 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning games, and I'm very much looking forward to 3 p.m. Saturday games or even Sunday. I'll take a Sunday at 3 p.m. at the moment. And it has kind of waned my interest a little bit. I've been doing an awful lot, we'll talk about that in a wee bit, in terms of European players and stuff, but around this time, I've started to get a little bit tired. And I know it's something that you mentioned last week about kind of general malaise within the game. And I've looked for another activity, and I believe you've got the same activity because you sent me a little notification saying, look what I just got. So would you like to share that with the listeners as to what we're actually
after,
up to at the moment?
After many months pondering and defying and saying, no, I'm not lining the pockets. Football Manager 2022 has been downloaded.
Champion.
So we've obviously, we've spoken about it a wee bit on the pods and stuff, and we've had many, many, many very good and very long battles, some of which you've won, some of which I've won, some of which have ended up in arguments and tears almost. However,
carnage.
and absolute carnage. However, we have stated and we've thought about it, time permitting, about doing one or two last sort of challenges. So yeah, I've only done one season so far playing the game. It's quite good, just from a Surveyor crossover. Actually, it's quite good. I'm playing the Scottish leagues at the moment, and I deliberately put the scouts on the MLS just to see what it would bring up as to who would possibly sign. And so, some of the players, you're like, that would never happen in a month of Sundays. However, just basically just a side activity. I think you're right. The Surveyor landscape, thankfully, I've noticed just in the last few days that activity is starting to ramp up in relation to the fact I've gone from getting, you know, I remember I think I used to say I used to get, you know, 10, 12 offers a day because I would always have lots of things listed, to none. Yeah. To now I'm back getting, you know, I think I've had about 5 or 6 offers today alone. It's feeling as though things are the way to ramp up again. Europe's almost back upon us.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to it. I've also been doing a little bit about that. And it's funny you say about that when you're playing Football Manager. I started, Louise laughed at me for it. She also told me I wasn't allowed to bring my laptop into the labour suite, which I think is a wee bit harsh. But anyway, I started the game and it was basically along the lines of, if I'm having sleepless nights with the baby and we're getting her back to sleep, I'm going to need something to do. Now, I've recorded all the Premier League Years episodes that have been on Sky Sports. I've got the full collection now. So if there's any stats-based info from that, I'll have it. But I was thinking, do you know what? We game of Football Manager. I've had the game for ages. I've not got through, probably since we last played, which I think was 20, FM 20. And I've not played a full season on any of the games since then. So 21, I think I got to maybe September, October. And then this one, I was doing the same. And I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to start a game with no reputation. I'm a Sunday league footballer. I've got one coaching badge, which was the National C, and it was just basic stuff, but I've got 10 nations on it. I think it's 36 leagues running, and it's like Turkey, Austria, Belgium, you know, it's the hotbeds of Surveyor activity. And it was just a bit of fun. So I started off as Albion Rovers. I posted a couple of pictures up on Twitter. Got through my first season, fully intended to move on, which I did. And it took me a year to get another job. And I came into a skint Kilmarnock. And it's been fun just playing it again and kind of getting used to it and seeing some of the players that, you know, I have seen names pop up that are Surveyor-related names. And I've also scouted a few, especially now that I'm back in the Premier League with Kilmarnock. I was like, oh, I wonder if Stefan Nuts is still playing, or if any of the young Austrians are still kicking about. So yeah, it's been fun doing that. And it kind of did make me think, you know, to tie it into our retro chat that we usually have, some names from the past that from early Championship Manager games and things like that. I've got one early memory from that first one that I talked about, the 93-94 end of season update disc. And I think it was Michael Goossens, I think was the lad's name. He was a Belgian lad. And you would, because when you would go to sign him on the market, it didn't tell you who they played for. It just said the nation, just said Belgium. And it gave you like 200 grand or something. He was a prolific goal scorer in the lower leagues. And that was one I always enjoyed picking up. But then when it came to Championship Manager 2, that was when it was like Viktor Lianenko, Andrei Shevchenko, Marcelo Salas, and I think there was Boy Vargas as well, I believe, a defender. I can't remember his first name, but those were some of the ones that kind of stuck out to me, rather than the kind of the Mark Kerrs of the world, as you've mentioned in the past. But is there any others that kind of stick out as old faithfuls? Or I can think of ones, because I could think of your spell of when you picked up the Romanians every single game.
Yeah, do you know what? The earliest ones, I always remember signing this guy, an English striker. He's called Dale Watkins. I'll be really intrigued if any of the other people that listen to the pod have ever signed this guy in FM. And you're talking, this was about probably, I think it might have been CM2. So it was before, you know, really going back quite a bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, I used to sign Dale Watkins up front, lower league. He would blast through English League 2, English League 1, and he would hold his own in the Championship. Or you could sign him in Scotland and he would do pretty well. Historically, the red disc, obviously, CM0102 was a phenomenal favourite. And I know that certainly a couple of the boys that listen to the show and stuff, I used to play. We used to just basically sit and share the mouse for hours and hours on end, and we would lose days and days. And they would generally, one of them would go Rangers, one of them would go Celtic, and I would always go United in the hope that I could sort of catch them up and then overpower them. And generally it was pretty close, considering obviously the sort of smaller stadium and the lack of facilities and things. However, I suppose I would think that anybody that ever played that, you know, Taribo West was always signed, wasn't he? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Mark Kerr, Stefan Dalmat, Maxim Sigalko, Skilidis, Papadopoulos, Farnarudes, you know, all those guys. If everybody signed them, because they just did the job. They were just immense and just so OP. Obviously, coming laterally in our sort of era where we really started doing battle online,
mm-hmm.
Bogdan Stanciu,
a man Stanciu. I hate to this very day, because of a fictional version of him in a football game. Despise him. I would tell him that to his face. Bogdan Stanciu, if you're listening, I don't like you.
And that was just basically down to me signing him every game against you. And sometimes he would score against you and sometimes he wouldn't. However, yeah, just basically, you know, it's probably a sort of firm part of most people that are involved in any of these sort of, you know, whether it's Surrey or fantasy football, whatever you play and you listen to and you sort of participate in. Most people have had an element of either playing, you know, FIFA, the actual game, or doing the management side and playing CM and FM. So they are interlinked. And I think one of the interesting things for me, obviously, just loading up that FM22, having not bought the last one, I was looking at it like you. Just, I was like, oh, I wonder what Surrey guys are in there. And I wonder what guys that have been doing well in Surrey are going to be cheap, you know, and could attract the club. So, yeah, it's a nice little link to kind of probably take us nicely onto the Surrey stuff today.
Yeah, so, I mean, when it comes to game weeks, I'll probably quickly get a rant off my chest, if I may. I had a terrible start to the game week. Thiago Santana gave me a little boost, and had given me 122 points in my underdog team, and I was like, happy days, this looks pretty good. And it got to the South American games. I think it was America MG They did pretty well. They kept a clean sheet and it was all good. So I was sitting with 338 points. It was a tier two. Now, granted, it was going to be a lower end tier two. It was 104th, 111th was a cutoff. So it was going to be a lower end tier two. But what I got, quite frankly, I was extraordinarily disappointed with. Now, again, I was only probably expecting a card maybe worth 10 to 15 quid. I got a card that is worth 3 quid, basically. As a tier two reward. And frankly, I thought that was abysmal. But I don't really know why, you know, that was the case. But it was. So I had a wee rant about it. It just goes back to the dynamic prize pool situation, you know, where prize pools are getting made up 3-4 weeks ahead of time when this guy was 20 quid. And now he is 3 quid. It's just, it's not good enough that, you know, relegated players, goalkeepers that have, you know, been dropped are still in tier ones and things like that. So there's a lot of things I still think are extraordinarily wrong. And I think, 100% honest, the prize pools will drive away more people than they will bring in from that aspect. You know, if you're spending a fair chunk of money and you're getting a 3 quid reward back, it's pretty grim, in my opinion. I think Dan had posted, has anybody seen the new animation? And I said, unfortunately, yes. I have seen the new animation and I was sorely disappointed with and I put in brackets a tier two reward because I don't feel it was worthy of it. However, it's just goes to show, and I'm not the only one, I was able to be like, okay, fine, whatever. I'm putting up as a giveaway. If he comes back from injury and does well for somebody, fantastic. It's just not for me. Happy days, I'll move it on. But could you imagine you're somebody who sat there and that's your first ever reward and you get hit with that? How sickening that would be, just to be like, well, what am I spending, you know, 100 quid on a goalkeeper and 50 quid on the rest of my team for to get 2% return on it? It's, you know, it just seems really shabby. Now, I get it if it was a low-end tier three, a low-end tier two, I don't think it should be worth 3 quid. And that's what drove us away from the limiteds in the first place, wasn't it? The prize pools and things like that. So,
yeah, I think it's been a bit of a journey with the limited cards, like you say. And, you know, when the limiteds first came out, and as affiliates, which we both are, which, you know, part of our job is to create content, but also to promote the brand subliminally, I would probably say. You know, we are quite restricted as affiliates as to what we can do. You know, we can't just be giving away things to sign up and stuff. But certainly from the perspective of, you know, trying to build the audience and just really kind of expand the profile and things, you're talking with people before they sign up. And whether it's in person or online, you're talking with people when you're, you know, painting this picture of this fantastic game, which it is. Mm-hmm. You're talking, you know, I find that I've had a conversation today. I had a conversation with, honestly, I've just honestly had a conversation with a gas man, honestly, about it. He's like, I'm sorry if we're going to make a bit of noise here and stuff. And I was just, do you know what? I'm actually recording a podcast today. So just let me know roughly the time. And then he asked, obviously, what's the podcast, blah, blah, blah. So I told him about it. And he said, oh, that game sounds good. Now, this is a guy that I would say he's probably in his early 50s. And he perked up. And he says, oh, what's it called? And how do I play it and stuff? So I gave him some details and things today. But yeah, it's a bit of a challenge when you can, if you're winning cards that are like 1 and 2 quid, well, people don't want to particularly be winning that level. That doesn't feel like a win, does it?
Yeah. No. It felt like a loss when I seen who I had more than a win, if I'm being perfectly honest. But yeah, it does sour it a wee bit. And it did make me go like, well, do you know what? I'm going to punt quite a few of these cards down, you know, and just lessen what I've got sat in the limits, to be perfectly honest. So I reduced that down and I've picked up a couple more expensive ones to put into my under 23s team, which is nicely taking shape. but in terms of your game week, was there any news or was it just one of those?
You know what? I've been stung once again just with a shocked DNP, and Sifuentes didn't play for me, which hit me hard. He's been phenomenal for me. I can't really moan as such specifically at him, but yeah, I thought we'd have a good go at, over the sort of June, July period. And I know July's just, we've just broken into it, but yeah, find it a wee bit frustrating just that I'm just not winning things at the moment. And, you know, part of it obviously is down to me and my strategy, and I am trying to change my gallery about. But yeah, it can be a little bit frustrating when you're not winning prizes when you've got, you know, obviously good gallery or a big gallery or whatever. On a side note, you mentioned obviously just about other people and think, you know, contacts that we've had through the affiliate system, etc., that have been winning maybe small prizes. One of the guys that signed up through myself was fifth in the specialist league this Excellent. Week, which was good. So well done to Rich in the game. I think his name's Olympic Manager. Had a little bit of a message, and he won Pellegrini, which I think is coming in the limited cards, coming in maybe about point 0.15, 0.13. So there's the flip side, I suppose, of the coin. That sometimes you know, when things go right, it's fantastic, but. Yeah, if you're trying to build a gallery and you've come in at this level where guys like me and you have said, right, okay, you know, build a team, £50-60, and you can win good prizes and things. But yeah, if you're picking up £2 and £3 prizes, it's not so exciting, is it?
Not as a tier two. I mean, if you were getting a bottom end tier three, you can expect that. Do you know what I mean? You can be like, okay, I'm getting hit with a £2 card, £3 card, or whatever. You can take that. A low end tier two shouldn't be worth less than what the low end tier threes are, in my opinion.
On a wee side note on that, do we know who's allocated to, you know, sort of monitoring and, you know, sort of processing the prize pool on a, like, from a card perspective and a tier perspective? Do we know who does that?
I don't. It's one of these things. People have asked so many questions regarding the prize pools, and obviously they've mentioned things like, you know, dynamic numbers and things like that, which we know it's not. You know, the increase, if it was dynamic, it would suddenly be 627 prizes this week. Next week, there's less people playing, it'd be 424. It's not dynamic when it's just, oh, right, okay, for the next four game weeks, it's 700. You know, that's not dynamic. That's a number that's picked and put in. Dynamic would be, I would go back, I know the World Series of Poker's on just now, and I've been kind of keeping a track. One of the Surrey players that I was on another podcast back in the day with, Max Pescatore, I believe his name is, he's in the World Series just now, and I've been seeing his post coming up. But when you look at things like that, the World Series, you might have, say, 10% of the entries are prizes, and depending on the size of the prize pool, depends on how many people are actually going to win prizes. Now, obviously, there might be that they've then got, say, if you had 10 grand allocated to that prize pool, if there's more places getting paid, then there's, you know, the prizes lessen as they go down. But to just arbitrarily have figures, it's, you know, if all of a sudden you had 10,000 entries to the World Series of Poker and you said, oh, there's only going to be 40 places getting paid, you're probably not going to have 10,000 next week. You know, it's probably going to be a lot less. It has to be kept interesting for people. So I think going forward, obviously, we've got the return of Europe, which we're going to kind of go on to, because over the next couple of weeks, we've got quite a few leagues coming back. So I just hope to see, you know, by, you know, once we're into August and we've got all the leagues back, that we start to see the prize pools really shaping up. Especially, obviously, you know, with no common goalkeepers and things like that going into the rare leagues and what have you, I think it'll be very interesting to see the numbers as we're, you know, progress into late July and early August.
Yeah, I think obviously we're going to have roughly a fortnight, so two to three weeks absolute max of crossover where you'll be able to get your European cards and the last usage out of your common goalkeepers.
Yeah.
But it really is only that sort of, I think it's three game weeks and sort of two actual weeks as such. So yeah, that is going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. I've noticed a little bit of movement on the very bottom end of the goalkeeper market. So I went and had a look myself on the transfers just to see, you know, I always like to snap up the odd number two that does sit on the bench and, you know, that you think, all right, okay, something could happen and he could go on. But I did notice that the price, I think the base has maybe risen by about £15. It's kind of hard to monitor because of the ETH fluctuating at the moment. But yeah, I think that's quite interesting. The other thing that I have noticed, and I, you know, not to have a dig overlay at Surrey on it, but the little red cross and the little blue cross, it irritates me on just, you know, why do they not have someone that is sitting doing this almost on a daily basis? And I know that a lot of the transfers are done, But there should be surely someone that's sitting manually just doing that. And do you know what? It doesn't take a genius. You could obviously use either community members, who I'm sure would be more than happy. You know, I know that I can happily send in, this is what's happened in Scotland today, yeah, so that you've got it updated tomorrow. But do you know what? If you don't want to use community members or something, somebody sitting on Transfer Market can do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that there's also the likes of, I mean, I did see a lot of the transfers updated on the 1st of July, you know, all the pre-contract stuff all kind of updated from there. So people who we knew were being released, you know, I knew there was a couple of Dundee boys that have moved either back to their parent clubs or have gone on to new clubs. But yeah, like Dylan Levitt, I'll use him as an example because I seen him the other day and I picked him up. Obviously, we'll come to the, you know, the chat around him later on. Now, he went back to Man United. Man United took the option on his contract for another year. He's sitting with a red cross beside him just now with no club.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was widely reported. It's not like, and it's not on Transfer Market has him still as a Man United player. Everywhere still has him as that. So it's very odd, like just, you know, an anomaly like that. Now, that could potentially cost people money. You know, the vast majority of people who have done the research, they'll know that player's worth more than whatever. I managed to pick him up the other day, and it might have been because I sent over an offer in line with what the market recent sales had been, which was 0.035, which was about 30 quid at the time. And the guy accepted it. Now, he might have just looked at it and said, the boy's got a red cross against him now. He's not usable, so I'll just sell him. Because he was actually had him listed at 0.05, and he took the 3.5.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, maybe a cheeky offer, but it was in line with the recent sales. That was 33, I think, was the recent sales. So it was just over. And the very next day, I sold him for 50, like 0.05. So he sold for 45 quid the very next day. And
you give me first option on him at 49.
I would have considered it at 59. But you know what? It was somebody that I picked up and I was like, yeah, I could use them. And then I looked at the prices on the market and I put mine at the kind of third lowest. And the other two had sold and then he sold because there's a lot of kind of talk around him. But that red cross there could potentially cost people either having to sit on a card for a couple of weeks until they sort it out or whatever. Because, you know, and then you get the cheeky Discord messages from somebody saying, oh yeah, but he's not usable. And you're like, fuck off, he is usable. I know he's usable because I do my research. I know what's going on. It's just a case that he's not available there. So yeah, little things like that. There's a few kind of, you can't even call them teething issues at this point, can you?
No.
It's just ongoing bugs. And it's, you know, things like that. It's just efficiency, ongoing bugs, just things that could just be tightened up.
Retired players is another one. You know, like there's quite a few in Scotland that have retired and they're sitting and they're still not got a red cross on them. And now, as I say, like you say, most people do the research and, you know, if you're sitting in Scotland and you're starting to buy Scottish cards or even in Britain, there's a good chance you'll know some of the news and you'll not have been walking about with a bag over your head and, you know, earplugs in. So you'll know that, like, players have retired and stuff. But if you're maybe sitting in, you know, the Netherlands or Belgium, and you're looking at our league for challenger to expand your squad, and you look and go, oh, you know, he's really cheap, and he's not got a red cross, and he's sitting, and he's maybe still appearing on Wikipedia in the squad page, and you know, the boy's actually retired. That can be off-putting for new guys, because that's maybe part of the overall budget, and it was maybe a set budget for five players, and then all of a sudden they've got four players, and then, oh, he's retired, and what's he worth now, and nobody will buy him, and Pavel won't take him, and blah, blah, blah. So it can be a little bit frustrating.
I would just to that point, I've got one here, because I got a DM asking me about him. It's one of the Austrian goalkeepers, Alexander Koffler. He was a goalkeeper for Wolfsberger. He retired.
Yeah.
Widely publicised he was retiring. Everything like that. You know, the other Bundesliga Twitter account had it, the Serie-based Austria accounts had it, and he still doesn't have a red cross beside him. We're past the end of July when his contract would have expired, so that would have made him no club at the very least. But, you know, I had somebody say, oh, I was going to pick him up because he's sitting quite cheap. And I was like, but he's retired. And then I thought, well, I better go and double-check that. And I went and double-checked it. No, the boy's retired, you know, and the cheapest rare one on the market at the moment is 100 quid. So somebody might just go, that's a bargain, because you could look and see his, you know, his numbers and be like, God, he's played every game last season. pick them up, you know, somebody's mispriced them, and then they find they're stuck with a £100 card. Now, granted, that goes back to do your own research stuff, and getting stung, but it's not very helpful if we're kind of leading people down a path like that, I don't think. So, again, like you say, comes back to kind of just efficiency and tightening things up, really, doesn't it? So
we don't want to see that. You want to see new users, although you don't want to see them finishing above you in the leaderboard.
No,
you do want to see people getting on, and then, you know, especially if you've introduced somebody to the game as well, or even, you know, at the early stages, you're helping somebody, and then all of a sudden you just see that they've got something in their gallery that's just of no use, or, you know, no value or whatever. It can be a little bit frustrating. The only things that obviously I've got in relation to game week, just before we kind of move on, I noticed this week that there's a special Threequay on super rares, which I'm actually considering entering it this week. I've only got three that are eligible, but I'm thinking I might put them in there rather than Global Pro.
Why not?
So I'm thinking of giving that a bash. There are only, well, when I say only, it's actually relatively decent actually in ratio to the amount of people that have entered so far, but there are 20 blue cards up for grabs. So I've noticed, and I'm going to probably give that a whirl this week. As opposed to last week's game week, nothing to excite or to report, but there are four or five players that are still doing very, very well and are in really good form and they don't cost a fortune. So Marcelo Silva, I know I've mentioned him many times at Salt Lake. He's still playing really, really well and he's still coming in at a very good price. Keegan Rosenberry has returned back to form and he is he's back and scoring relatively consistently. And Fatha Picault at Houston Dynamo, he missed a couple of weeks and his value really dropped, but he was back with vengeance this game week and is back scoring in the green. And then Luke Hackinson at Nashville, who I've mentioned a few times. Now, I'll be honest, I am actually selling mine for no other reason other than I just don't need him anymore. But he's actually playing quite well. However, there is a midfielder and a forward card. So I personally think he's much more valuable given the lack of sort of cheap options round about, say, you know, 0.07 and below for strikers that are playing and actually getting decisives.
Yeah.
So I'm selling my forward card. But, you know, if someone's on the lookout for a decent striker that seems to be getting more and more game time, you know, he's no Hani Mukhtar by any stretch of imagination. But he's, you know, he's £62, you know, something like that at the moment. Yeah. So that was probably my observations from the actual game week.
Yeah, that was the only one I had really was the underdog one. Thiago Santana was my big win in that one. And again, he actually was on the score sheet today for Shimizu as well, today being Wednesday. And so that's back-to-back decent green scores that I've had off of him. I was just actually having a wee nosy at your gallery just now. Come to that in a second. But yeah, Thiago Santana, that was a 69 today and an 81 at the weekend. So those are pretty solid returns off of him. He's jumped back up for his limited card. He's still sitting about £20. Shimizu have just gone bottom of the league though after today's results had come through. But yeah, that was probably my only shining light was really him, to be perfectly honest. So on the back of getting that reward and deciding I was going to change a few things up, Russ, just a wee bit about restructuring just ahead of the European season, and then we can maybe touch on some of the leagues that are, you know, obviously returning over the next 2-3 weeks, because obviously next week I might not be recording. yeah, we'll see how things go. But yeah, I decided that obviously my under-23 team, I had the under-23 Scottish team with an Austrian goalkeeper, Philip Menzel. And after I'd picked up Dylan Levitt, I was like, do you know what? That gives me a really, really strong under-23 team. And I thought, well, I could really rock with that, you know, with that team. And it was going to start at the end of the month. And then I seen, we'll probably come to it later on in terms of the Scottish news, Bruce Anderson had pulled out the first friendly for Livingston with some thigh tightness. It was precautionary, they held him out. It wasn't, you know, they didn't tear his hamstring or something like that. They held him out precautionarily. But I thought, you know what, I better go and get another striker just in case. So I spent a fair chunk on a boy, Filip Stojkovic from FC Sion. centre forward, paid 35 quid for him, which is 0.04. Quite happy with that. It's a very strong scorer, last 5.57, so happy enough with that. And then I thought, right, okay, well, if I've sold Dylan Levitt, I'm going to need to go and pick up another midfielder. So I've picked up, I've actually went Salzburg and picked up a centre mid from Salzburg. Obviously, they've had a fair few boys leave the club, but Nicolas Capaldo, no relation as an Argentine relation to Luis Capaldi. They just change the I for an O when they go to Argentina. And so I picked him up as the midfielder. So I was like, right, okay. But then I started
That's all limited, Chris. Or,
yeah. That's limited, yeah. I'm talking limited because I don't have the budget of a Scotland Serie. I'm still the budget guy.
Wow.
So I picked up Capaldo, 32 quid. And then I realised that all of those cards were actually going to be playing a week earlier than the Scottish League. So I thought, right, okay, now we need to get a couple of players that are going to fit into, you know, a team a week early because it might give me an opportunity. So I've picked up Boris Lambert or Lambert today from Kasjupin. And I had a cheeky offer to Pavel for a Yari Vercharen, which I would be grossly spending far too much on a limited card, but I sent him a goalkeeper and some ETH, and unfortunately somebody beat me to him. But that was that. So I'm still on the lookout for a midfielder. I have one in my sights. I need about 8 quid to get him. I'm not going to put the money in just to get it. I'll get my sales and I'll get him in as well. So looking at one of the Austrian lads, Matthias. Oh, my goodness. You're looking at a player and you can't even remember his name. I'll have to look that up. Sorry, I've got baby brain. I'll call it baby brain just now. Lad from Austria, Vienna, anyway. But yes, so that's my target. So I'm really kind of, obviously we've got the rare teams coming back, but I'm really quite excited about the under-23s. You've mentioned it countless times, you know, about the prize pool is probably one of the better ones, you know, for the actual rewards, because you are getting under-23 cards and they do tend to be desirable. From that front. So have you had any kind of, you know, moves on your front or any plans, or I think you're pending a big sale possibly?
I think it's Matthias, is it Brunauder?
That's the lad.
Yeah, you're looking at him. I've been going through a restructure all summer, and it's been happening basically over the last 4 or 5 episodes of the pod. I'm sitting with something ridiculous, honestly. It's like maybe 2.5 ETH worth of players up for sale at the moment, and I'm reluctant to sell them too cheap, and I'm appreciative of the fact that it's a lot more ETH than normal for these ETH traders, but I'm not going to let them go too cheaply. Mm-hmm. Jackson Muleka, so these are all rares I'm talking about as well at the moment, but Jackson Muleka, obviously to Besiktas, is pretty good, and sorry to Adam, but I certainly wasn't wanting him going to Burnley. nothing against Burnley. I just didn't see him fitting in there. I do notice that they have signed his stablemate, Samuel Bastian from Standard Liège. But I didn't want Muleka going there. And I'll be honest, Muleka was sitting at 0.6. Now he's an under-23 striker, and he's unusually, his 2021 card has him as age 22, and he's 2021-22 card, he's got the Benjamin Button effect because he's 21 on that card, which is, I don't know if people have noticed that. It's got his real, obviously his real age, he is younger, he's not as old as his earlier card suggests. So he's gone up probably in the last 24 hours by 0.2 in valuation. Now I've got mine listed today because I could, in my head, theoretically do a lot of rebuilding. As good as Jackson Muleka is and as phenomenal as he was for me last season, he was really a high scoring card. But at the moment, I don't have an under-23 rare goalkeeper. So I've got to be, you know, strategically sort of looking at this and going, okay, what can I strengthen with the sale of that card, for example? Mm-hmm. And as I've been mentioning just over the restructure weeks, I do plan to play 6 or 7 leagues, and I'm quite happy with 3 or 4 of those teams now. But there are also 2 or 3 teams that I've got to be uber critical and look and go, do you know what? I've got an affiliation to the card or an affiliation to the team that the card plays for, and I like it, but do you know what? The card's just actually not strong enough. It's maybe scoring 45 and 50 points every week, but I really need a card that's scoring 60 or 65 yeah. points every week. And that's how the guys that are at the top of the game, many of them have much, much smaller galleries than what you'd expect. You know, there are some of the guys at the very top of the game that are operating with galleries of like 50, 60 cards. You know, I'm sitting with, what, including the limited, it's probably about 150, 160 cards. So I am trying to downsize. And I, the problem being is I'll keep spotting a bargain. Yeah, I know you're the same. We spot a bargain, we buy it on impulse. And then we sell it for profit more often than not, to be honest, because that's the way that we operate and that's the way that we trade. You know, we're still, I know that deep down, as much as I want to be involved in all the prizes and being at the top end of the game, I still know that primarily I'm a trader more than a prize winner. So, yeah, just looking at that, I'm trying to do a rebuild. I'm trying to sell some of my cards at the moment. Maleka, obviously moving. I think like I've been getting an update today and he's roughly about that 0.8, sort of 5.9 valuation now. And that obviously, that can go quite a long way in the current market to rebuild and say my champion Europe, which is, you know, it's quite good, but it doesn't have a strong enough forward, you know. So I can look and I can move that about. So a bit of restructuring going on here.
Yeah. Is that Erling Haaland you're maybe looking at as the striking option, Russ? Or
No.
Oh, okay. Well, because we're obviously talking on different budgets, so I thought maybe he's decided just to, you know, take the mortgage deposit and buy Erling Haaland instead.
Yeah. Do you know what? Another thing as well, I think we are probably both guilty of this. Obviously, we eat, sleep and breathe Scottish football, and I've probably still got too many Scottish cards. And I know that, and I want to keep them because I know that they're good players that will score heavily and they will return a profit. And that's all that, you know, at the end of the day, that's what, fingers crossed, everybody's trying to do is they're trying to either build by making profit and, you know, reinvesting, or they're, you know, taking the money out, whatever way you're doing it. But nobody's playing this game to lose money, yeah. I wouldn't have thought. I'm looking and I'm going, oh, I've got five or six Scottish players and probably not, can't use them all. Who do I sell? Who do I not sell? And it can get a little bit tricky.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I made no bones about the fact that I'm sat with 22 rares and I'm only going to be competing two competitions. So that's 10 players, you know, that I'm needing, plus some rotational ones. So I've probably got 6, 7, 8 cards that I will be selling. And which cards those are depends entirely on what the market is at the time. If the season kicks off and somebody's off on one and they're scoring and the, you know, their average score goes up to 60, 65, 70, they'll be the ones out the door because they'll be at peak price because we know they'll come back down again.
Yeah.
You know, and those kind of things. So yeah, I've got a handful of cards there that will be getting sold and they will, and it, those ones, the vast majority of that is going to come out. It's just going to get withdrawn and going into the baby fund. There'll be some will be left in for a bit of trading, but there'll be a big chunk will come out because I'm on paternity leave for the next 2 weeks and then holiday for 2 weeks. So I'm off for 4 weeks now. I'm obviously getting paid for that, but Louise's going to be off for a year and that's on a reduced pay for the year. So as I said, we had the house payments put aside for 6 months and now we need to start working on the next 6 months, you know? So, and that's hopefully, you know, touch wood, will go far enough to, you know, putting a dent into that as well. So it just takes a strain off of things, eh? So, and that's one of the things I'll always be grateful as well, as critical as it can be sometimes when I get £3 reward from all the investing and, you know, and buying players, selling players and doing exactly what you said, being a trader. I mean, the prizes, you can go look at anybody's prizes on Surreal Data and see what they've won over time. I'm on 19 and I think 8 or 9 of those have actually come from the last, what, 2 months worth of limited wins? Limited, and maybe 3 or 4 of those have been worth something. The rest are all pennies, you know, yeah. And not to disparage that, but they're pennies. So yeah, I will be making most of my money from trading, and that's just what we've done from the start. It's how you've amassed, you know, a 5-figure gallery. Yeah. It's how I've managed to get up to now, you know, it's, almost four ETH, which is funny because about 8 weeks ago when we spoke about the ETH crash at that time and it had gone down to £2,000 and I said it on one of the podcasts, you can go back, I think it's about episode 8 or 7, And I said, yep, my gallery's sitting at about 1.68 at the moment, which was about $4,000 according to the thing. And today it's just shy of four ETH in total. And it's still $4,000+. And this is before the European prices are really ramped up. I mean, they are starting to creep up, but it just goes to show, if you're thinking that you were valuing an ETH, you've just lost.
You know, you've lost a whole valid argument.
You've just lost.
It's game over with that argument. Sorry, but it doesn't matter how many followers you've got, and if you think you're an influencer, that's just simple economic logistics. No.
The people that, you know, if you're wanting to look at the guys that have won big in this platform, and it's not popular to say, but if you look at You'll Never Walk Alone, I can guarantee you he does not value an ETH. Any of the Blackpool lads, the McBrides of the world, the guys who've been around for a long time, they don't value an ETH. They value in pounds and pennies. It's just simple. But anyway, it is, you know, a confusing marketplace when it comes into that. So let's have a wee look forward to Europe returning, Russ. I think if my memory serves, which is not always the best, it's a little bit mushy. I think next weekend, with the weekend of, that would be what, the 13th, 14th, 15th, 15th, that would probably be, is the Russian League returning that week? I believe the Swiss League as well. I noticed that from Mostojkovic guy that I picked up, that they also start back that week as well. So have you any, obviously you had quite a few Russian cards. I had a handful and they were expensive ones. And I panicked a little bit when the war broke out, in terms of, you know, what happens to the league because they're in war. Do they suspend their league or whatever? So I actually bulk sold mine to Super Osman. And that's how I have a contact for him if anybody was looking to sell any cards. So I sold mine to him because I was a wee bit worried as to what the value was going to, you know, be in them. So I don't have a whole lot of Russian knowledge as such. I've got friends who might have some Russian bride knowledge, but I don't know myself much about the Russian leagues. Do you have any kind of quick pointers or quick wins or anything like that people can go and have a look at?
Yeah, I suppose the obvious ones are, you know, guys like, you know, Akinfeev and things like that for goalkeeper, you know, really solid picks. I know we've mentioned them before on the pod. I have bought myself just a few sort of new players just in line. Nikita Kakiov is one that I quite like. I just recently done a trade with him. You've got... there's a lad that's just come back on loan. Alexander Kutitsky is somebody that I expect to break through. I don't think he's overly expensive at the moment. I suppose I think a lot of people are waiting on establishing, you know, we've seen all the Europeans leave because of the war, like you say. And, you know, you had guys like, you know, Jordan Larson's, Cabela's, you know, all these Ordets, all these fantastic cards that scored heavily. And I think there's probably a wee bit of anticipation around what's going to happen there.
Yeah, because I think the, was it FIFA or UEFA have allowed them to extend their ability to void their contract for another season up to the end of 2022-23 season. So yeah, it's kind of hard really, isn't it? I mean, it's hard even looking at, you know, the Scottish teams and seeing 7 or 8 new players coming in a team and being like, okay, what's week one's team going to look like? You know, obviously you've got your established players, but I think in Russia it's even more so because, as you say, the foreign players have mostly left, but there are still some in there. Because I did a couple of videos in last week, the tail end of last week, looking at some cheaper European players for the thresholds. And I did have a couple of Russians in there, actually. There was an Argentine defender, I think it was, Lucas...
Lucas Mazzoro.
That is the very fellow. Because I had to go and do a wee bit of research and try and find out if he was still there or not. So Instagram, a little bit of Instagram stalking, Russ, was my in there. There was also, I mean, it wasn't a foreign player, but actually, well, it was Kazakhstan international. Marat Bistrov from Akhmat Grozny, right back. decent scores. And I think some of the Russians, obviously, they stopped minting the Russians, didn't they? So
yeah,
there's a disparity.
There's a few that really, I suppose, probably take my fancy. I'm quite keen to get Shamar Nicholson back. He done really, really well. And Roman Zobnin is one that I hold in my gallery in the midfield, and he's quite good and he's quite competitively priced. If people are looking to get just a couple back on the sort of in the galleries and get in there. Neil Umurov is another name. Now, he didn't feature an awful lot at the tail end of last season, and he's an under-23 card. I paid about £180 for him, and I think you can get him for around about £100 at the moment. I would expect him to return with vengeance, and you'll be buying him probably for, I would think that you'll get £200, £250 for him in the not-too-distant future. Yeah. And we just mentioned, obviously, Red Crosses, but Konstantin Kuchiev was on loan at Rubin Kazan. Uh-huh. If I think I recall rightly, I think they went down. However, he's returned from his loan, and the Red Cross actually has, I've just looked, and it wasn't, I think it was there yesterday, but it's actually been removed. He's back as eligible in my midfield as well as an option. So I'm holding personally 6 or 7 cards. I think there's an immense amount of value in Russia. And I know it's a little bit of a sort of, topical topic, obviously, with everything that's going on and things politically and sort of with the war and things. But for me, quite simply, it's football. To me, it's not really connected to what's going on in the world. And if there are good cards in Serie A, I will buy them, regardless of whether they've got a Russian flag on them or not. So, yeah, lots of opportunity. I was thinking that maybe in next week's pod, just ahead of the league starting, I would probably have maybe 10 players that I think can probably gain our listeners high value.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good shout. The one that I've just remembered, the other one that I had last season, and I had him for a wee while, and that was Zenit Dinov. I think you had him as well from CSKA Moscow. He's lost his under-23 eligibility now, but he was a fairly solid card. His average is only shown as 23, but I think that's due to international games with...
He's injured just now, isn't he? He might have got an ACL.
Oh, right, okay.
So I think he's out till...
He was a good player, nonetheless.
Yeah.
He was a good player. But no, it's one of those that I've, to be 100% honest, I said to Russ before we went on, because we were going to talk about, some of the leagues, and my knowledge of the Russian league is nil. I don't have any great in-depth knowledge other than, I'll look at Serie A data and see what a player is, how they've been performing or what their scores are, what their prices are, and kind of making a judgment from there on them more so than, actually having an in-depth knowledge. So, that's how I was kind of leaving that segment. And as you could see, with not doing any research, I just stuck my foot right in it and said, here's a good player. Oh, he's got an ACL injury. So, that's that one. The Swiss League was coming in, and there's not a whole heck of a lot of, I think it's only FC Sion are the only official club in from the Swiss League, if memory serves. There are a few players there, but the only one that I've really got any knowledge of was the striker, because I did a wee bit of research into him before I went and bought him. Philip Stojilkovic, as opposed to Stojkovic. And 22 years of age, his last 15 is 50, and his last five is 57, and even his last 40 is 47, and he's pretty much played almost all those games. So that's a card I'm quite excited for. I think it was 11 goals and 5 assists maybe last season as well. So a fairly solid card in terms of getting, a good few decisives and things there. I think the following week is the return of Austria and Belgium. The main player in Austria that always jumps out to mind is obviously Stefan Nuts. Looking forward to the return of the SV Ried lads. I've also got the goalkeeper there as well. I've got a few cards in that league. I'd never really looked at Salzburg because I felt they were well out of reach. That's where you've seen the Salzburg stacks, because they are going to rattle teams, 7-0, 6-0, 5-0, and that's when you see the top five in the leaderboards all being, RB Salzburg. We've said before, Russ, haven't we, that doesn't take skill, that just takes money. If you can find yourself a wedge of cash and you could go and spend 0.2 on a limited defender, then you're probably going to win prizes if their team are rattling in 5 and 6 and 7A. So I have had a wee look at the league. They've also got, it was Admira that went down, and I believe, I'm just trying to find the name of the new team that have come up. I had it written down. Do you know what? I apologise, folks. I'm all over the place this week. You could probably forgive me on that one. It's Austria Lustenau that have come up. So there's going to be a new team to learn about in amongst there. Great resources for that. I think Serer Austria. There's also the other Bundesliga. Those lads have kind of embraced the Serer community a little bit because they've had quite a lot of activity coming in from there. I did find a link which has all the Austrian transfers on it and also the any rumours listed on that as well. So I've got that benchmarked for myself there. I will share it with you, Russ. I know you'd have a bit of a disdain for the Austrian league, perhaps just because it maybe bit you once or twice, but yeah, there's quite a few good players in amongst there. Obviously, the under-23s I just mentioned, I've actually just secured the deal for Matthias Bronnodder, as you correctly pointed out, that I'd didn't know his name, even though I was about to spend the better part of 40 quid on him. Anyhow, I have him in the gallery now. And again, he's from Austria Vienna. He broke into the team last season, played really well. He's actually been linked to Hoffenheim, which was my only kind of drawback on it. However, he's the type of player that looks like he'd actually start playing there if he did move there. So I've not got any real great concerns around that, other than it would goose my team for the week of the 23rd. And yeah, I've also got a couple of other boys there. Where is it now? Sorry, I've just had a sale there. It freaked me out for a second because a whole new name came up there. Red Bull Salzburg, they've obviously picked up a few players. Capaldo was one that came over last season from Boca. And they've also picked up the lad from Shakhtar Donetsk, Fernando. But they've been losing a few players. I think every other day Leeds are connected to one of the players, or you know, they've been in for a few. I believe that the Mo Kamara deal's actually fallen through. The players that I like, I'm going to mention those. There's Locatelli from Wolfsburger. I've got him in rare. I'm obviously a big fan of Sahin Radlinger when he plays well, but every time I praise him, he does badly. So he's a terrible goalkeeper. Marcus Pink, I think he's actually one of the better forwards that you can maybe look at picking up. And there's a couple of cheaper ones as well. I think I mentioned them last week. Monchheim, who's just moved from LASK to SV Ried. They were sorely missing a striker. Christoph Monchheim, you can find him. He's got his LASK kit on and that. So there's a few players there. You would probably imagine, Russ, that Salzburg will steamroll that league as usual. Any team with the Red Bull link to them are widely hated in their country, but they're the ones that are probably going to do quite a lot of damage, aren't they? So have you any players at Austria that have caught your eye? Or
yeah, I do actually. Just the one.
Just the one. Okay, that's fine.
Jonas Auer at Rapid Vienna is somebody that I'm probably quite keen to pick up. I think I'm in truth. I looked at him last season and followed him for a little bit, and then obviously I actually forgot about him. And then it was actually just a friend has got him in the gallery now. And yeah, I think I've probably missed the boat on getting him at a good price. I do expect him to probably play quite well, and he's really good at getting decisives. So yeah, I think I'm maybe going to look at picking him up. But again, he's an under 23, and it'll all depend on whether I go back into the market for a keeper as such.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the other goalkeeper, speaking of under-23s, Philip Menzel was an under-23 eligible goalkeeper. He's the starting goalkeeper for Austria Klagenfurt. Reasonably priced on the market. I think the cheapest one on there just now is £101, which for an under-23 goalkeeper is cheap. As unfortunate as it is to say that, that's always the barrier to entry to some of these leagues. I got in early, but he was still 88 quid at that point. So he's one of these players that you have a look at and you see he didn't play the last two games of last season. So that probably makes people think he's not going to get the start, but he is. That was basically just to give the outgoing goalkeeper the last two games of the season when they had nothing to play for. So yeah, that's those ones. Belgium, I don't have a huge deal of knowledge, even though it's probably one of the, I think it was one of the founding leagues, wasn't it? Or one of the very early leagues. I don't have a whole heck of a lot of knowledge of the Belgian league. I get confused when it goes to the end of the season and it starts splitting into 18 different sub-leagues. And, you know, this one's for a European place. This one's for your granny's teacup. and things like that. So
probably a good feature that we could do on it. I've obviously bought and sold quite a lot of players from the Jupiler, as you know, and I used it at the very start of the game. I built a team around Shamar Nicholson and Dan Haymans.
Yeah, you did.
And those were, you know, those were the cards that actually, to be truthful, started winning me my first ETH prizes. Not cards as such, they weren't winning me cards, but those two started dragging me over the line to winning and getting. That's what really got me, you know, interested in the game. And obviously, you're talking that's last April, last May. I've got just five transfers, as opposed to tips or such, but five transfers that take my interest that I've spotted this week that maybe not everybody's seen because a couple of them have been today. Now, obviously, the sort of the headline transfer, and these are guys that have all got cards. The headline transfer today, obviously, Paul Pogba, who's just almost ready to go in the dotted line from Man U to Juve. He's coming at 2 ETH. I just think that's absolutely bonkers for a card. I just think there are 100 cards that will outscore that guy. So, you know, he's obviously sitting in there as an option for people to buy in the game, given the France release. But that was one of the ones, and I just think, yeah, you know, that where is the value in that? However, there are four cards that I think are going to do really quite well, given the transfers. And one of them is Cameron Humphreys, who's just moved from the Jupiler. So he has moved from Zulte Waregem to Rotherham on loan. Now, Rotherham are in the Championship. Mm-hmm. I would fully expect him to be one of the starting centre-backs there. So that's going to be quite interesting. I think he'll actually, score quite well there, and I think he'll increase in value. Wout Weghorst, the Dutch international, has gone from Burnley to Besiktas, where I'm guessing he will be the foil for Mr. Mileka. Again, I think he will... he'll do quite well there, and I would fully expect Weghorst to be to be scoring pretty much every time he plays over there. I think he's too good a striker, and I think he'll destroy that division. So that's quite an interesting one. I think he's not a cheap card. I think he's probably about 0.7, 0.8, something like that. But if you're wanting a score of probably 75 plus every week in your forward line, for whether it's Challenger or Global, there's, you know, certainly going to be a decent return there. Again, remaining on Burnley, we just mentioned him earlier, Samuel Bastian. I would expect him to get better scores. He kind of started coming on a game for Standard Liège there at the tail end of the season. That's one that's quite interesting for me. I think I'll be monitoring that one in the way that I monitored Joel Pirro that went to Swansea last year.
Yeah.
And I had multiple opportunities to buy them at around about £250, and I didn't take them, and I kicked myself for it, because obviously he went on and scored about, I think he scored something like 16, 17 goals. And the last one that I've got that just really interesting, again, I think it's just happened today, is the Turkish lad from Lille, Zeki Celik, has moved to Roma. Now, given how sort of defensively tight Mourinho and Roma will operate, I actually think he's coming in. I just had a look on the market there, and he's coming in for a rare about 0.14. And I think he will score 50 points plus pretty much every single week. And I think he'll play. I genuinely think they've signed him to play him. So that's five that I'm going to keep an eye on, just from, I'll do my own critique on it as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty much all I've got, just from the sort of the European sort of news and scene at the moment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, the following week after those leagues all kick in, it'll be the return of Scotland, which we're highly anticipating. The Scottish League actually kicks off this weekend with the League Cup, not scored by Surrey, but it will be interesting to see how teams line up. Obviously, we've had some friendly matches in the last couple of weeks, and I've got some scores and scorers of those friendlies, which we'll go into as well. We might do, you know, the transfers and the rumours and the friendly scores kind of team by team, Russ? Does that suit you?
Yeah, all I've got for Aberdeen is it's a player out, and there's no card. It's a young lad, Finn Yates, that's got quite a good reputation in the lower leagues. I think he's been out on loan and stuff. No card for him. He's joined Falkirk, so it's relatively irrelevant in Surrey terms, but it just goes to show you that Aberdeen obviously will probably look to get out and to get rid of a few more players as well. Have you got any news from Aberdeen?
Nothing really. Obviously, there's just persistent rumours, obviously, where Ramirez, we've mentioned that before, I won't go into that too much. They've had two friendlies that I've been able to find notes on. They were on a training camp in Spain. As it seemed half of the Scottish Premier League was. If I seen Robbie Nielsen from Hearts and a Heart one more time, I felt like I was going to spew. It's usually a Stone Island badge he's trying to get. I don't know if you've seen that page on Twitter. Yeah. It's like getting the badge in or something, or get the badge in. It's a great page. They rate the people who just a spoof page of people trying to get their Stone Island badge into pictures. But yeah, they played against St Johnstone whilst they were over there. It was 1-1. That was a closed doors game. I don't have the Aberdeen scorer, but I believe it was their new signing, Majovsky.
Yeah.
They played against Bucky Thistle. If anybody knows where Bucky is, it's in the far north of Scotland. but it was Matty Kennedy who scored, who was returning from injury at the end of last season. Jim Goodwin's kind of spoke highly about him, so it'll be interesting to see how he fits in. And Christian Ramirez scored a penalty because Lewis Ferguson wasn't there, because he was granted more time off. That was one thing. There has been a few links with Lewis Ferguson over the last week or so. It'll be interesting to see where his future lies. You've mentioned it before. If he does move club and he's not on set pieces, free kicks and penalties, his scores will tank from where they are. And that's just because at Aberdeen, I think last season, he had at Aberdeen, was it 15 or 16 goals he had last season? The majority of those.
Yeah, he was a joint top scorer.
Yeah, majority of those were set pieces. So there was those. Celtic, I don't have any friendly news for. They've just flew out to Austria. I think their first game is perhaps tonight against Rapid Vienna. It's either tonight or tomorrow night.
Yeah,
but I don't have anything beyond that.
Well, the only thing, obviously, Jota confirmed just as we were, I think, probably recording last week. It was just sort of happening just at the tail end of last week. So obviously that's, for all the holders, fantastic. There's been two players have left. Again, neither have cards, so fairly irrelevant, but young Brody Patterson's joined that Hartlepool revolution that we've mentioned a few times. Another player going down to Paul Hartley down there. And I suppose probably one of the more recent Football Manager wonder kids in Karamoko Dembele has left Celtic and has moved to France, where he has joined Stade Brest.
Yeah, he was highly, highly touted, wasn't he?
He has been. Another one of those that, you know, I think he's had the Scotland shirt on and then he's had the England shirt on and, you know, through the young players, etc. So, yeah, I can't say I'm a fan, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm not into players that that switch every season. They go up from the 16s, 17s, 19s when they're switching back and forward and can't make their mind up. I just feel they've got no allegiance to either.
Not a fan of Aidan McGeady then, Russ?
I'm saying absolutely nothing. On that note,
the other one, sorry, just very quickly, I don't think we mentioned on the last week's podcast, the lad Bernabe officially signed for him. I think we mentioned it on there, but he hadn't signed yet. But he's officially £3.5 million, which for Greg Taylor holders would probably be one that I'd be aware with.
I'd be moving him on. Let's just be honest. I'd be moving Greg Taylor on. I can't see them signing this guy and not using him. Yeah, I'd be moving them on. Dundee United, not much happening at my beloved club at the moment. We, you know, the only thing really is that, you know, we've been linked again with Dylan Levitt on loan and possibly we've been given a figure, I believe, to buy him. Whether that's in or out of our budget at the moment, I'm not sure. I think it's probably a little bit too much hard cash to hand over to Manchester United for a club of our size. However, that would be the one that probably there'll be lots of people keeping an eye on.
Yeah, his price rocketed on the back of that news. Yeah. Even though the rumour's always been there about him moving to United or Cardiff are in for him as well on loan. I believe the figure that was originally touted was supposedly $2 million and then it became $300,000.
$300,000, yeah.
And I posted up about it and I think as an investment for Dundee United, to spend $300,000 on him is a lot of money for a skint club, let's not forget. They are being bankrolled. They are being bankrolled by their owner. They're not self-sustaining in any shape at the moment. We're 133 or 135% wages to turnover ratio.
It'll be down now.
Yeah, it might be, but we'll see. But they are being bankrolled. And I think for $300,000 for a player, that if he continues his progression, you would sell for seven figures. and just seems like a no-brainer. I mean, it's like the whole Jack Henry for East End last season,
yeah,
when they bought him because they had somebody ready to buy him for more money. Yeah. It would make sense if they could do that. But either way, he'll be there. The one Dundee United note that I had was a closed-door friendly, in inverted brackets, because it's in a park at the side of a road. I'm not sure that's closed doors. But anyway, it was a defeat against Falkirk, but I believe it was a very youthful side, shall we say, yeah, that lost to Falkirk. So I think Hearts are the next ones.
Yeah.
I've got two Hearts friendlies. I'll just quickly run them. They had one last night. It was a 7-0 demolition of East Fife, a lower league team in the Scottish Leagues. I think they've just been... Are they down to League Two now, Ross?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
However, of their goal scorers, five of the goals were scored by cards in my gallery, which was Alan Forrest had one, Stephen Kingsley had three, and Alex Cochrane had one. And in their other game, which was played, I believe, in Spain, and that was against Europa FC, Alan Forrest had two goals in that game as well. And Ewan Henderson, who has no cards, scored the other two for them there as well. So, and the other two goals scored last night were by youngsters, basically, with no cards. So,
yeah, and incidentally, after playing East Fife, they have released Ryan Schiavone, who's just a young guy, to East Fife. So he's left Hearts there. No card. So again, relatively irrelevant. However, moving on to their city rivals, Hibs.
Can I just quickly interrupt? The boy Schiavone, prolific in Football Manager. He was a nuisance to me at Albion Rovers. An absolute nuisance. Anyway, sorry about that.
There you go. Moving on to Hibs, Jamie Murphy has moved to St Johnstone.
Seen that.
He's in Surrey as James Murphy with a picture, but no cards.
No cards, I've seen that. Yeah.
And then the only other thing I've got to note before I'll let you do any more friendlies is the only other transfer I've got of note is Motherwell to Kilmarnock, and that's Liam Donnelly, who has cards. And I think he'll probably do pretty well at Kilmarnock, and I think he'll get plenty of game time, so you'd probably pick him up relatively cheaply. I'm guessing around about sort of £30 to £40 at the moment for a rare. That was the player that I mentioned. He did score, I think it was about 11 goals a couple of seasons ago. It wasn't Mark O'Hara that I said on an earlier podcast and had to apologise for, but it was Liam Donnelly. However, I think he might be a decent... If someone's looking to basically get an investment to flip, he should score some goals and basically return you some green scores, and you should be able to make maybe £20 or £30 on his rare card.
Yeah, definitely. What I'm going to do is I'm probably just going to cover off the ones that have actually got cards into rare here, rather than kind of, you know, talking nonsense about players that don't have cards. Hibs had a 4-2 win over Burton Albion. Severe on the budget hold of Melkerson, striker, under 23 striker. He had two goals in that game. He does actually look like he's filled out a fair bit as well over the close season there as well. So that could be an interesting one moving forward. Kilmarnock, they don't have any players in the games, but a couple that might be familiar names-wise that you might want to keep an eye when they do get launched, because Kilmarnock will get launched, you know, with the new season cards. Ash Taylor scored three goals against Falkirk, which was interesting. And Kyle Lafferty, another name that might be familiar. He's still plying his trade at the age of 96, I believe. And I think it's his 143rd club. He's still playing for Kilmarnock. Yeah, he scored in one of their friendlies there as well. Livingston, now they've played both goalkeepers so far. They played Strajek in the first game and they played the Russian lad in the other one. Mm-hmm. Strajek shipped three to Morton. And then the next one was against Linlithgow Rose, who are a junior team up here. And they won 6-0. One of the players that they have in the game, which was interesting, was Christian Montano. I had a look at him, Russ. He's available on the transfer market at the moment for £7 for a rare. £7. He scored two goals last night. Their team line has predominantly been trialist listed against them because a few of their signings haven't had international clearance yet, so they haven't played them as trialists. So nothing new beyond there. Motherwell have only just started their training camp overseas. St Mirren, the main one that had scored the goals in those games was Mark O'Hara's now scored two goals in pre-season, which I was quite enthralled about. The other ones, no cards for Lewis Jameson or Offord. One you mentioned last week, Russ, was Alex Grieve, New Zealand international as well. and another one of the new signings as well, a younger. So it's not an awful lot of cards there, but the funny thing was I was laughing when I was writing out the list because most of the players that I've scored are actually sat in my gallery, which I think goes to say we know what we're talking about a wee bit. So in terms of just what you were saying earlier on about having maybe too many of the Scottish cards, the ones that I've got seem to be performing in pre-season. Now, that's never an indicator because sometimes you can go through, you know, pre-season, five games, play against some big teams, get some good results, and you go into the season and you get hammered in the League Cup by Dumbarton or something like that, you know. So it's never a given. But I think coming to the weekend, all the teams that aren't in European competitions are playing as part of the League Cup, I believe. And that means there'll be seven teams that you'll have an opportunity to have a look at and see how they shape up, how they line up. And I'm sure we'll probably cover that in tweets and things like that, just to say, you know, these have been how the teams have lined up. But don't put too much stock into it if you see something like an anomaly, you know, because some of the teams that are going to be playing in this are part-time teams that play at the bottom of League Two, the bottom tier, and the
experimental teams.
Yeah. So it'll be experimental teams. It'll be new. You know, some of them even use these games as almost like as friendlies now to kind of get match sharpness. So it'll be interesting to see what names we see and any players that have maybe left clubs that we've not actually seen any connections to. I had put on our little agenda for the thing to say, should we have a little bit of a predictor for the Scottish League since we're just ahead of the start of the Scottish season? I don't know if you had an opportunity to maybe pick out a 12 for us.
Didn't read it, to be honest.
Not, well, that's fine.
No, you get it next week. Kind of put it down, get it next week.
Let's do it off the cuff. No, let's just do it off the cuff. Let's go off the cuff. Let's say, who's going to be your top three then? I think it's probably going to be quite easy. And who's going to be your bottom three?
For the Scottish League this
Scottish
season?
Scottish League, yeah. Scottish League this season. Obviously, Celtic Rangers are going to be your...
Celtic, I would think, would win the league.
Okay.
Rangers should, in theory, finish second.
Mm-hmm.
If any of those two don't finish top two, they'll not have the same manager. Simple as that.
True.
On paper, Hearts should walk third.
Yep.
And that's just the reality. But, it doesn't always work like that, as we know. But yeah, Rangers, Celtic, and Hearts. And the bottom three, I am going to go Livingston bottom.
Okay.
And I don't think we mentioned briefly there just a couple of the players. Montana, I think, has flirted in and out of the English lower leagues.
Yeah.
£7, to be honest, is a gamble that's not much of a gamble in relative terms. But Strijek, and I've been asked many times with him, I still think he will move before the window is shut. So if you're messaging either of us, my stance will remain 100% on this. I do not think Strijek will be in the Livingston goal come September. But I think Livingston will be bottom. I think second bottom, I think Kilmarnock might find it relatively hard, but I think they will just have that sort of freshness and impotence that just want to stay up. And they're really just, I think they'll just do quite well. Lafferty's a bit of a weird one. He can still score goals. He's still, you know, if he does get released in the game, he's still got international utility and he still gets picked for Northern Ireland. But yeah, he can find the net, and he's a bit of a menace, even at the ripe old age of whatever you said he was, 78 or something. So yeah, Livingston, Kilmarnock, and I think third bottom, I think it could be Aberdeen. Okay. And I know that, so apologies to Weaselmont who listens to the show in advance and any of the other guys that support Aberdeen, but yeah, I think it's going to be an experimental season and a bedding in period again for Aberdeen. Admittedly, Goodwin's going to have his own players, but you know, you've got quite a few guys from overseas and things that have all come in. You've got quite a few different nationalities there. It's going to take a time to gel. Again, just to kind of finalise for me, Lewis Ferguson, I also think, will not be at the club. This is the optimum time to sell him, and you've got lots of clubs sniffing about him. I think he'll be away, and that will obviously be a bit of a hammer blow to Aberdeen. So yeah, I'm going to go with that.
I'll go with the same top three, but I'm also going to say I think if Hearts get the right striker in to play alongside that front three at the moment of Forrest, Mackay, and Boyce, if Boyce stays, that is, I think they could genuinely make a push. If they don't balls it up against, you know, because they don't have Dundee to be a bogey team this season, you know, where we're going to Tynecastle and taking, you know, 3 points every time we go there and stuff like that. If they could just avoid poor results against the lesser teams, they're more than capable of pulling the results off the Old Firm. They've done it. I could see them maybe edging out an iffy Rangers side or what have you. No, okay. I'm Celtic will win the league. I can't. I reckon. I don't think it's even going to be close. But I don't know. I don't know. I've got this. I don't think they're going to be as adrift in third this year. I think they'll close the gap and maybe just put that pressure on. Bottom three. I'm going St Johnstone going down. I don't think they've strengthened enough. They're bringing in older players. I don't see them that situation changing. I think Kilmarnock will be okay. I think it'll be. Ross County will be 11th.
Okay.
I've had a look at their signs. Yeah, they've got a couple of good ones there, but I think they might struggle. And they struggled at the start of last season and then went on a run. But that was one of the worst Scottish Premier Leagues last season. So United managed to finish so high. You know, a points tally that might have finished 10th previously. And I think 10th place is probably, I'm probably going to put Livingston in that one. Yeah. I'm the opposite. I think Aberdeen are actually going to have a decent season. Yeah. I'd put them maybe top five behind Hibs.
We will see.
We'll see. And ninth is going to be United at best. Wow. But we'll go with that. So that was just a wee bit of that. I think before we, I don't have any players this week. I've not had time.
Just a challenge left, is it?
Yeah, so it's going to be challenge, which I believe was bands or pop stars, I believe.
You gave me five bands or pop stars, and okay. I had one that was absolutely inch perfect, and I can't remember it for the life of me. However, I've got five in a bonus. So, number one, he plays for Cuiabá, and his name is Elton, as in Elton John.
I'll take that, yep.
Number two, and you can have two versions of him.
Oh.
Kevin Prince Boateng.
Mm-hmm.
Or Prince Ibarra. There's only two cards of this guy, Prince Ibarra, in the game. However, that's my second one. Third is a favourite of yours, Marcus Pink at Klagenfurt.
Okay, yep. He's been used in multiple challenges now.
He was
Mr. Pink in the film.
Yeah, I've also got Elvis at Blue Wings.
I can only imagine he's playing in a jumpsuit. I really hope he does.
I just really wanted him just to like them to change the club name now to Blue Shoes or something.
Good shout, Russ.
He should wear blue boots, shouldn't he?
I'm proud of you for that one.
Yeah. And finally, you might like this. Oh. This is two players combining to give us a band. So I've got Jack Duran at Chianciano and John Duran at Chicago Fire to give us Simon Le Bon's Duran Duran. And that is how I end my participation in the podcast. Well,
personally, I think it's an absolute tragedy you didn't include Kenny Stepp in that for a wee bit of steps. But yeah, we'll go with those. That was fantastic. I'm not going to set a challenge for next week because we don't know the status of how things are going to be.
I might potentially
not be on it. Russ is on holiday. We will have something up. We will have something up. There will be something goes up. But whilst I am sitting waiting on Labour going through and things like that, I will be posting on Twitter and things like that. So I'll be keeping the content that way. I did some videos last week. You'll find them over on Twitter. If you search for Surrey on the Budget, you'll find my account and you'll be able to see the videos. Threshold European cards for defenders and midfielders. Forwards will come. I just don't know when. And I don't have anything else to add this week other than good luck with your game weeks. And the next time I speak to you, I will then be a father of two. The wee one's picture will probably be someplace very soon. So I don't have anything else to add there, Russ?
No, just basically for any of the guys that have made it to the very last seconds of the pod and listening, if you want to put some of your on our Twitter We'll put a post up with some of the FM legends that we've been talking about. And if you guys have got any yourself that have just absolutely stormed it in any of your saves, certainly from, ideally from yesteryear, please let us know.
Sounds good. Eric Jerby was my new icon. 23 goals in a Kilmarnock shirt last season. Excellent. Anyhow, lads, I will let you all go. Take care. I will speak to you all again as soon as possible, probably next week. Take care.